congregation, sometime before we were married, Lydia and her family visited her extended family in the United States. She did that on two occasions. And one of the sightseeing trips they made was to the huge redwood trees in California, considered some of the largest things on earth and the tallest trees in the world. Some of them are over 100 meters in height and over 2,500 years old. And you might well imagine that a tree that has been growing for such a long period of time would have a tremendous root system reaching down perhaps many, many, many meters down into the ground. And if you thought that, you would be wrong. They actually have very shallow roots, but they all intertwine with one another. They are locked together so that they don't stand alone. For all the trees support and protect one another with their root system. And friends, that's an image, I think, of the strength that unity brings to Christians in the church. On our own as individuals, our roots don't amount to very much. On our own, perhaps we would fall over at either the slightest breeze or even when the winds begin rising. But together we support one another. We don't stand alone. We stand together. We protect one another. We support one another. United we stand. And without doubt, unity is something that Jesus wants for us. And we know that that's what Jesus wants for us. We know that unity is what Jesus wants for us because that's exactly what Jesus prays. But what exactly does it mean to be united? Jesus' prayer, this part of Jesus' prayer that we've just read this morning, gives us three different angles to understand what it means to be united. To be united in message, to be united in service, and to be united in purpose. In the first of these, we are to be united in message. We're to be united in message. Jesus prays, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." In the early part of Jesus' prayer that we looked at 2 weeks ago in the afternoon, Jesus had been praying especially for his disciples, for the 12. But now the focus of Jesus' prayer just goes so much broader. He prays for all his people. Jesus uses the widest possible way of describing his people. He doesn't spell it out in terms of denomination. Jesus doesn't say, I pray for the Baptists or the Catholics or the Anglicans or the Reformies. He doesn't do that. And one of the reasons why Jesus doesn't pray for us by denomination is because unity isn't found that way. If Christianity were a footy game, you can't tell which team you're playing for just by the colour of the denominational guernsey that you happen to be wearing. Rather, Jesus describes for us here how we can know if someone else is part of our team. If they have believed in him, if they have believed in Jesus, believed the message that speaks of him. We call that message the gospel, the good news. And the early disciples and the apostles went throughout the world with that message. As they traveled, they called people to respond to that message, to respond to Jesus in faith and love. And friends, I say to you this morning, if someone has done that, if you have done that, if you believe in Jesus, then you're on our team. Doesn't matter where you've come from, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're wearing our team colours this morning, Christian colours. For our team is those who are united in message, the message about Jesus. It's on this level that true Christian unity can be found. Jesus wants us to be united through the message of the gospel, a message about him. 2 weeks ago, we witnessed in the morning service the profession of faith of Danny Allen, Percival and Siebert. And their profession of faith was saying a similar thing. It was saying, I am one with you in message. The things you believe as a church are the things I believe. We're united in the message that should unite all Christians, that shows we're on the same team. That apart from Jesus, we're helpless. We can do nothing. We're helpless on our own. God the Father sent Jesus Christ down into the world. He died upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to save us when we could not save ourselves. We are the people who love Jesus. That's who we are. People who love Jesus. We trust him as the one who saves us from our sins. And with joy, we all embrace him as the Lord of our life. That's what a Christian does. Hako and Marlene, this morning we have baptized Thomas. And Thomas's baptism this morning is a call for him to embrace this message. His baptism is a reminder to you of the responsibility to teach him that message, to call him to trust in the Lord, to trust his word, to respond to Jesus with repentance and with joy. And as you teach Thomas, no doubt you'll also be teaching him things on which Christians disagree. And those things are important too, let me add. Even if they couldn't be described by what Jesus says here, they couldn't be described as the message. The reason they're important is because all of God's word is important. We want to understand everything that God has spoken to us in the best possible way. And the vows that you made and the vows that we made as a congregation call us to do that as well. The message that you are to regard as 100% not negotiable is the message above all messages. It's this message that unites us: faith in Jesus Christ and our salvation through him. United we stand. We are to be united in message. We'll be united in message, and then we're also to be united in service. United in service. Jesus continues in his prayer. He's been praying, and he just the last words there, he said, he prayed for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. Where do we find service in those verses? The word isn't mentioned. What Jesus is praying is that the relationship between us as believers would be like the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. That we would be closely united, just as Father and Son, along with Spirit, are closely united. And to achieve this unity, this oneness, Jesus prays and tells us that he has given us his glory. What was the glory that was given to Jesus? Perhaps that could be answered in a number of different ways, but at least in part, it was the glory of service. The glory of the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve. It was Jesus' glory to follow the path of service which reached its peak at the cross, where Jesus' glory is seen to its greatest degree. And this glory has been given to us. The passage we read before in 2 Corinthians showed that it is our glory to be increasingly transformed into the likeness of Jesus. It's our glory to grow in the Christian life so that we might better mirror the person of Jesus and his image in the world. Since it was Jesus' glory to serve, it is our glory also. It's our glory to serve, and as we serve, we're united. We're brought together. If we stop and reflect, I think we experience this to be true all the time. Think back to our working bee at church towards the end of last year. What a uniting thing it is to work alongside one another, to work and serve together. It halves the burden and it draws us together. And I see that when I'm in my study and I see you folk faithfully showing up to clean the church. And especially I see that when some of you are on in different areas of the church, you arrange to come together at the same time. You don't have to, because you could come at completely different times and do your own individual thing. But often I see you arranging to come together at the same time and serving together. Serve together for a common purpose. Jesus wants us to be united as we serve together. Not only as we serve together, but also as we serve one another. So we show love for one another through serving one another, whether that's a word of encouragement or perhaps a card to someone who's struggling or unwell. A message on Facebook, a meal baked for someone who's just had a baby or come out of hospital. Our family has certainly experienced that pouring out of love with our children having booked a permanent suite into the local hospital. Thank you for that. Up until we came to Toowoomba, I think we'd only been once to the hospital, despite the size of our family, and now we seem to go every month. Don't know what's in the water, but thank you very much for the love that you have shown to us in this way. You've served us in love, and we appreciate that. Perhaps you're serving one another in other ways, though. Perhaps it's through your encouraging presence and your words of wisdom. They don't seem wise to you, perhaps, but others find wisdom in them as you share them in a home group meeting or at friends and neighbours or some other place like that. Perhaps it's help around the garden for someone who can't do that any longer for themselves. Many other expressions, practical expressions of kindness and service. Service often seems like a very, very lowly thing, doesn't it? Not immediately appealing. The cross was also a very lowly thing. Didn't have immediate appeal. Friends, wonderful things took place through that cross. And wonderful things take place through our serving one another, growing in the glory of service that Jesus has given to us. So we have unity in words, yes. We're united in message. And we have unity in deeds as well. We're drawn together. We're united as a body in service. And then we also see this morning, thirdly, that Jesus has reason for wanting us to be united in these ways. We could express that reason in this way, that we are united in purpose. United in purpose. Jesus prays, "May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." What Jesus is doing is praying that our common purpose would be mission-centered. That at the very heart of who we are, our unity would be centered in a desire to speak to the world, to let the world know that Jesus is not just a good man, but the God-man. To let the world know that Jesus didn't just come to set an example, but to save us from evil. And congregation, when the church has done this well, great things have resulted. When we have been united in message and service, the world has sat up and listened. Take as one very good example, I think, the way in which the early Christians cared for those around them. And the Roman Emperor Julian, most definitely not a Christian, he said this about this. This is in 350 AD. He said, "Atheism," and by that he means Christianity, ironically. He means atheism because we don't believe in all of the Roman gods. Atheism, Christianity, has been specially advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their care for the burial of the dead. It is a scandal that there is not one single Jew who is a beggar, that the godless Galileans care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well, while those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them. Non-Christian emperor, the Roman emperor. What an amazing witness to the world the Christians were. Until that time when we are all in heaven, there are always going to be matters on which Christians disagree. and yet we can find unity in the gospel message. We can find unity in gospel service. And when we make these things our focus, God will be pleased to use us to reach the world, to use us as a form of evidence that the Christian faith is true. And friends, that places a great and very weighty responsibility on our shoulders, doesn't it? For if it is possible for a united message and united service to actually be in itself a form of witness to the world, then surely it is also possible for the very opposite to happen as well. It is possible for our squabbling and divisions over non-essentials. It is possible for our failure to care for one another, to act as a barrier, to keep the world from the truth. As we reflect on our lives, and no doubt on our life as a church as well, to our shame, we've been guilty of these things. We've been wrong. We've sinned against one another. We've loved our own formulations of the truth more than we've loved Jesus, perhaps. We've loved our own comfort more than the comfort and well-being of others. Encouragement we can have this morning is that despite our shortcomings, which are many, despite our shortcomings, this message which unites us is also a message of forgiveness. When we own up to our sins and our failures and our shortcomings and seek forgiveness, Jesus promises, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. But we don't stop there either, do we? Jesus calls for us to afresh put our sins and any area of disunity, to put that behind us. To link arms with one another within the body of Christ. To hold fast to this message that unites us and embrace the service which God has given to us. So friends, this morning, let's recommit ourselves to serving God. To serving God together in unity. And to evaluate the choices that we make, the things that we say, the words that we speak, our actions as community. To evaluate those with unity of the church and God's purpose for us in mission and mind. United we stand in message, in service, and in purpose, so that the world might believe.